This is Biz. I'm a part-time working mom with a big kid and a little kid.
And I'm Teresa. I have a family business, two young kids, and a baby.
This is a show about life after giving life. Don't listen with your kids, because there will be swears. This is One Bad Mother. This week on One Bad Mother, batteries. Plus, Biz has cake guilt, Teresa has a super brain, and we talk to Sarah Kowalski, Esquire, about her new book, Motherhood Reimagined, When Becoming a Mother Doesn't Go as Planned.
Woo!
I will say, the habit, the routine of the woo.
Yeah.
I love.
Yeah.
Though sometimes when it comes right after, however we've introduced whoever I guess it does feel sometimes inappropriate when
it's
becoming
feels,
a mother doesn't go as planned. Woo!
It feels like a little sarcastic sometimes.
Does. Yeah. Sometimes to some things. Teresa, before we get started, we've got something we need to remind people about.
Yep.
October 14th. We're flying to Brooklyn to do a live show. Why? Because we love you. And we wrote a book. You're doing a great job. 100 Ways You're Winning at Parenting. And we're going to be in Brooklyn doing a live show. Afira Eisenberg is our guest. The amazing Adira Amron and The Experience, who sing the mom song on the show after Genius and Fails, will be doing a live version of this.
I'm so excited.
We're going to be selling books. We're going to be signing books. We're going to be hanging out. It's going to be a very, very good time. So go to onebadmotherpodcast.com, click on live shows, and get yourself a ticket. There's also, we just found out, there's also going to be a One Bad Mother Brooklyn meetup happening before the show at the bar at Bell House at 4 o'clock. I have a feeling the live genius portion of our live show is going to be a hoot.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. I think people are going to be pumped up for that.
Pumped. If pumped means inviting a lot of alcohol.
Rowdy?
Rowdy.
Should I say it's going to be
rowdy? Yeah, it's going to be good.
I hope it's rowdy.
It's going to be a good
time. It's always more fun that way.
It is. Teresa.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm a little foggy.
Are ya?
In the brain.
Are ya now?
Yeah. So this morning, the babysitter comes. So Grace is at school, Oscar's at preschool, the babysitter comes for Curtis on Mondays so I can come and record the show. And she shows up and I'm like telling her where the breast milk is and telling her like, so there's probably enough for the cereal. And she goes, well, so, but didn't you want to do the fruit with the cereal? That's what you told me last week. And I was like, oh, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. Whatever.
Whatever you think is
best. And then, I mean, like, either one, I guess, or both. I don't know. Did I say that? Okay. And then I'm, like, talking to her about, like, when he should take his next nap after he wakes up. And she's like, so on Friday, did he take that nap? You were putting him down for, like, a nap at 4:30 on Friday. Did he take that nap? And I was like, well, first of all, I don't remember Friday at all. That was 3 days ago. I have no idea. And then I was like, no, he's not taking a late afternoon nap anymore. And she's like, well, you were putting him down when I left. And I said, I was? She's like, yeah. I said, I don't know. I don't remember that. That seems weird to me. I believe you.
Friday with somebody.
Yeah, I believe you, but I don't know why that would have been happening. Okay?
Wow,
and
like,
really, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling that as like a cute story of
no.
a crazy thing that happened. I'm telling that as an example of how I feel all the time.
Your brain has just enough space to process like the current 24 hours,
moment.
Maybe.
It's Max. I'm right now. And like,
yeah, and then it's gone.
Yes, it's totally gone.
Go.
Clean
we
slate,
get
started,
this out of here.
Starting over. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is why, actually, it's really hard to leave the baby with somebody right now because I can take care of him as the day goes on.
Right.
But he's not on a schedule like my other kids were, where I'm like, well, this happens at this time, this happens at this time. I'm like, basically, I'm just doing what comes up. And so, like, I'm to the point where I should really just be saying when she gets there, so whatever. If he's hungry, feed him something. If he's tired, put him to bed. I don't know. That's what I do.
Listen for cues.
Yeah. If his diaper is dirty, change it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
I got nothing to say.
That's just where I'm at.
That's a lot.
I know. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm going to share something that is completely meaningless. Uh-huh. So I have spoken, but it has really gotten stuck in my mind. It's something I should be concerned about. Okay, and a problem I should solve.
Okay.
So I have mentioned on the show before, we both talked about this, that like in children's books, in particular, children books from the past, like they're like the old like golden books and like the, you know, whenever anybody's like putting kids down to sleep or bears down to sleep or whatever, there's a lot of cake. There's just
a lot of cake in stories.
Yeah. Cake comes up. And then like when I'm watching the Brady Bunch with Katie Bell, I've talked about this. I've been showing her this, you know, once a week. There's a lot of cake, like, hey, well, the kids are all home from school. Here's cake. And, you know, they just pick up cake with their hands and they walk off with cake.
Yeah.
And so every once in a while, I had these thoughts of, like, that's a lot of cake.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a cake. That seems weird. And then I have been, the kids go to sleep every night listening to all the Francis book series on an audiobook at night. They go to sleep, Ellis does, listening to like Bread and Jam for Francis, A Birthday for Francis, Baby Sister for Francis, all these things for Francis, which were my favorite books growing up. But I haven't read them like maybe a year or so. They just listened to it or whatever. And I have all the books. So I sat down with Ellis and I'm like, let's read the Francis books before bed. Mm-hmm. He's like, great. Oh my God, there's so much cake. There's so much cake, like in bedtime for Francis, like she can't have a whole bunch of other stuff, but some cake before bed is totally fine.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, it's totally fine. Yeah. There's all this cake. And there's like another book where she like runs away. I think that's in Baby Sister for Francis. She like runs away under the table. And when she decides to come back, the mom's like, it's like literally making a cake. And I think the line is basically, you know, at least you live in a house or you'll always live in a house where there'll always be cake. Now, that is a real paraphrase, but that is basically the thing. And I put Ellis to sleep and I come sit down next to Stefan and I say, I now really think there's something to cake. Mm. Like, there's clearly something to cake and I'm missing it. I'm not, we do not have, we have no cake in the house. Yeah. And I say to him, I'm like, I mean, did you have fucking cake in the house? And he's like, well, actually, yeah. And I'm like, you did? Like, you? Like, I... Just like, you know, Steph and I were raised very differently in terms of sweet things in our house.
Right.
And television and everything else. But he's like, yeah, no, Ma, you know, his mom apparently like there was always like a cake, a simple, you know, kind of cake. And apparently we're not talking like birthday level cake.
Right.
Simple.
Right.
Cake-based cakes, no icing.
Kind of like pound cake.
Yeah, kind of like a pound cake, which I'm like, actually, we grew up with like pound cake and stuff like that in the house. So then I just turned to Stefan and I was like, I'm not parenting with enough cake.
Right.
So I totally was like, I'm making a cake.
Good.
And then I made cake. It was called fudge cake. Uh-huh. And apparently it's like a traditional like Mississippi like cake that from this like diner in Mississippi. And I thought, this is exactly what this is. I have to say it was brownies. Totally. Oh, when you ate them, I was like, oh, this is brownies.
Brownie. Yeah.
But I'm going to call it cake.
Yeah.
And everybody gets cake.
Right.
That's it, guys.
That's great.
I felt like I had a parenting problem.
It's amazing.
And I solved it.
It's totally amazing.
That's it. Well, look for Biz's new parenting book, We Need More Cake, which also could be like, it could also be my, I'm in the middle of my 40s, perimenopause, We Need More Cake book too. So it could be like either one. Speaking of more of something, today we're going to talk about batteries.
Please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Miss and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
Teresa.
Yes.
Batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, we're not talking about the symbolic likeness of batteries and our own personal batteries.
Oh, yeah.
And our own batteries, like, running to the... I am, like, talking about physical batteries. And I am, again, surprised that we're 4 years in and we haven't spoken about batteries to the degree that they need to be addressed. I think they kind of fall into the glitter, the stickers, the sand, like this category of like, oh, there will be batteries in your life.
Little things that really actually affect our lives.
Yes. Yeah. In a large
way.
Yeah. Surprise. So, Teresa.
Yeah.
Batteries. How do you
am I for them or against
them?
Are
you pro or con batteries?
Well, they're pretty amazing.
Yeah, they
right?
are.
They're kind of like magic.
They are magic.
They allow us to access electricity.
Right.
And just in the air, like not connected to anything.
Dump water on them and not get shocked.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying you should. That will not make whatever you're using a battery in.
Right.
But you're right. We have harnessed electricity
in
a non-shocking way.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
The end.
The end of our show. I think I felt that way a lot when I was never thinking about batteries before I had kids. And batteries kind of make me nuts at the same time as
sure.
Let's talk about batteries.
Yeah.
I would like to just start us right off with the largest problem I see with batteries.
Let's do it.
As a parent. And that is toys that do not come with batteries,
right,
but need them.
Right.
And I think there's two divisions of this. One, toys that just flat out need batteries, and the manufacturer doesn't put batteries in with the
just
toy.
Batteries
in the
not included.
Batteries not included.
Yep.
And I think without any proof that if your toy requires C or larger batteries, you're definitely out of luck.
Yeah.
And Stefan actually said to me, do they do that anymore? And I said, that fucking blue elephant that you put balls in and it goes and it shoots the balls back out. And you put the ball, it's just like the never-ending cycle of losing balls in your house toy is a great toy. It did not come with batteries.
Yeah.
So then that leads you to the other problem with toys that come without batteries. People who buy you toys without batteries, but don't include batteries in the gifts.
Right.
I think this is almost worse than not having thank you notes, I say with a smile on my face, a sarcastic smile on my face. But, like, really, I'm a little like, we already live, like, in a culture where, like, we order things for each other offline. So, like, you know, here comes a holiday or a birthday, and you have all these presents for your children that come unwrapped that you are wrapping.
Yes.
Right? Which is a thing, which is, I mean, like, there are worse problems to have in your life. But it's the holidays. You're like, oh, we'll just pay the extra $2 for wrapping, right? Like, and now here.
Well, it's $3.99.
Well, $3.99, but fair enough.
Right.
Fair enough.
Right.
We need a team to come in and wrap everything for $5.
Yeah.
But the battery surge, because here comes holiday morning or birthday morning, and your kid opens the present, and are there batteries?
Mm-mm.
No. Sometimes. Mm-mm. There are not.
Yeah.
And now you're like, hey, enjoy this present that you can't enjoy until mom gets in the car and goes to the nearest store that sells batteries, which luckily is almost everywhere, and comes back and puts them in. So that's one. That's one totally made up reason to be angry about batteries. The second is the fucking screw.
Yep.
Can we talk about the screw?
Yes.
How do you feel about the screw, Teresa?
I really hate it.
I really do, too.
I hate it a lot. I've gotten better about it as time goes on, because it used to just make me totally lose my mind. Because I was like, you can't be serious. You want me to, like, have a toolbox? Yeah. You want me to, like, basically be doing some kind of, like, home appliance repair while I'm taking care of a one-year-old who's, like, touching everything and running everywhere? Like, when am I supposed to be doing this exactly?
After your children are asleep.
And, well, no, they want it right now.
I know.
And the screws are so tiny.
I know, you're going to lose
the
screw.
That it's like, how is this? So, it used to make me really crazy. And I think I stripped some screws a couple times, just being really impatient and, like, not having the right size screwdriver and just being like, or, like, jamming stuff in there.
I think a tiny screwdriver should come with, like, you know, like in a baby kit. Like, when you're, like, giving a new parent, like, here's some diapers and some lotion and, you know, tiny nail clippers for nails. And here's your fucking tiny screwdriver that you need to keep.
It should be on a magnet that sticks to your fridge or something.
Actually, we actually have one now after 7 years. And it stays in the, like, container that all our pens are in that are, like, by the radio in the kitchen or whatever. So, and it's also, like, by the drawer where maybe these are good batteries. Maybe they are dead batteries. Live. But I mean, like, it can take a while to finally get yourself that fucking screwdriver.
Yeah, it's one. Yeah, it's and like as my children have gotten older and more toys have come into my life, and I've had to do this many, many times. Yeah. There is like an acceptance.
Yes,
that now when I see that little battery opening with the screws in it, and I know that I need it's up to me. Yeah. No one else is going to do this. Nope. I have to do
president
this.
President of tiny screws.
Yeah. And then I just go, this is going to take a few minutes, but then it will be done. And I go and I do it. And it's done.
I'll put on my favorite song, make some tea, sit down, and have to deal with this fucking battery. I totally appreciate that somewhere along the line, clearly enough children were hurting themselves because the screw wasn't there. I have to assume that's it.
Yeah.
Or maybe people just got so pissed losing the backs of the like the battery container. Maybe it had nothing to do with kids. Maybe it was like people who
I'm
sure it had to do with kids.
Yeah.
But I will say growing up, I do remember having lots of toys that no longer had the backs.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
That you just
taped
down the battery or whatever.
Yeah.
But it is a fucking pain in the ass.
It is a pain
in the
ass.
It's like a real pain. And so by the time Ellis came along, he's always been really good with fine motor skills. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, here we go. Let's do our how to learn tools. Mm-hmm. Here's your screwdriver. Get those screws out. Right? And I just sit with my tea and my favorite song.
Yeah.
Maybe a magazine. Actually, I'm just in the bath, guys, having a nice long bubble bath while Ellis works that screw, which sounds actually like a genius. Let your kid kind of work on the screw a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that, like, if you really need this battery change because your kid really wants the toy, it just becomes, that then becomes its own problem of, like, Ellis and I wrestling for, like, who's going to unscrew it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, do you want this thing done now? Mm-hmm. Or do you want it done, like, 2 hours from now?
Mm-hmm.
No! Then Mama needs to do it. I need to take the screw out. Mm-hmm. It's very, I'm not, and we're going to go, the screw's going to keep coming back, guys, throughout this discussion.
Good.
Because the next thing, but I said this to Teresa, and she looked at me like, what is that? But I do think this is a category kind of, I call them nighttime batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa's like, what's a nighttime battery? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's all the shit in your kid's room that requires batteries that they use in their go-to-bed process somehow. So for us, that would be a turtle that lights up and shoots stars all over the ceiling, right? It's like a light up. It's like some sort of nighttime turtle. And it projects stars, and it's fucking magical. But if that shit goes out right before bed, if, like, it's not working, Ellis will, like, lose his mind.
Right.
And then I have zero desire at bedtime to deal with batteries.
Oh,
that's like actually the time I want to change batteries the least.
All our nighttime stuff gets plugged into the wall, though. I think that's where I'm having
a harder time
because it all plugs into
the
wall.
Have, like, any
the only issue
toys?
Is if the power goes out, then we have a problem.
Yeah,
but like the clock, the light up clock, which is our nightlight, the sound machine, the monitor, they're all plug in.
So we've got all of ours are plug in except for things like the sleeping turtle or like. We never had one, but I remember there was that, like, lullaby, like, light-up lightning bug thing that was really popular for a while.
Oh, my God, I wanted one of those so
right? But,
bad.
Well, think about how infuriated your parents would have been every night and that thing died.
Yeah.
They had to figure out.
Yeah.
Because, again, you're back to the, like, I got to go to the screwdriver. I got to unscrew it. And then all of this leads us to the real issue is, do I have fucking battery replacements? Do you have the batteries?
Yeah.
Are you paying enough attention, Teresa, to make sure you always have batteries for when this shit goes down, when the like fucking Hasbro drill or the fucking like spin art machine or the fucking hex bugs, which are these tiny little bugs that like robot little bugs, and you put them in mazes, and they actually are very fun, but they require the teeny tiny itty bitty batteries. And let me tell you, these toys are an inch; they're like an inch in size, and you still have to use the screwdriver to get out, to open the, like, quarter-inch battery slot.
Yes, you
stick
do.
That in. And because it's so small, it won't tell you which side is the side of the battery that needs to slide in and what direction.
God.
So it won't work until you've screwed it all back in.
Yeah.
Oh, not working. I gotta unscrew it and flip the battery over and stick it in. And those tiny batteries come in a variety of sizes.
They do.
So you look at it and you think, this is the battery I need.
This must be it.
How many? And then you go And you definitely get one that's too thin.
So what happened to me, we had those with our Woody and Jessie dolls.
Oh. Do those things change batteries?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a snake in my boot.
Yeah.
Ours have just not died yet.
Yeah. So my kids got, they were heavy use toys in our house for about a year.
Yeah.
And they came with batteries, which is great. But then they were one of those surprise ones where the battery runs out, we open it up and we see those little fucking things. And I'm like, I don't have that around.
Yeah.
I don't, I'm not going to be able to do that. Yeah. And so, but I couldn't figure out how to search for that battery online.
Yes, tiny battery.
It was like tiny. And I was like looking at it and whatever numbers I was getting off the battery were not corresponding with like a type of battery.
Right.
It was just like some kind of serial number or something. And so I ended up having to like make a special trip to like Home Depot because I knew that I would see it. And once I saw it, I could know which one to buy, but I couldn't. And it was a whole thing.
Those
a thing, but I had to do it because it was like the most important toy at the time.
Yeah.
But
you know what I have discovered with those? What made me also crazy about those is when I went to Target to get them, I could not get them at Target anywhere in their battery section.
Mm.
And then I went and looked on Amazon. And they were crazy expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, that is remarkable. And then I went to, like, a CVS. And I was like, that is remarkable how expensive those little batteries are. Mm-hmm. Then I went back to Target. And in the toy section where they sell these Hexbug things, mm-hmm. Hexbug, and they sell these on Amazon, too, has a package of Hexbug batteries. They are same fucking batteries.
Right.
But they're also cheaper.
Oh.
And you get, like, a set of 12.
Yeah.
And I was like, I now refer to those batteries as Hexbug batteries, and I will only buy them as such because they are cheaper and easier to find. But I thought, this is such an infuriating experience to have to go find these tiny fuck. And I feel like they're in everything now.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me bananas. Mm-hmm. And I keep fantasizing about a YouTube video I saw once where somebody takes like a battery and like opens it up, and it's actually just filled with tiny little batteries, and I that can't
that grosses
true.
Me out.
It can't
in a weird
be true.
Way.
Can't be true. But there are times where I just want to
like
figure out how that works.
Yeah,
can't be true though.
No,
not gonna ever cut open a battery in my house.
Yeah,
but I do feel
right.
Even in my most deranged states of trying to explain to a 3-year-old, that his toy is not gonna work for like less than 24 hours because we're gonna have to go to a store or whatever.
No,
but like. I think that's, like, the frustrating part about it is, like, the toddlers and younger kids just cannot get their head around how we are out of the battery.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just, I mean, sometimes I legitimately think it's easier at 8 o'clock at night to go down to the store and get batteries than to try
to
and explain to a 3-year-old who's now up past his bedtime, screaming hysterically that this thing can't be solved, right?
Yeah.
The magic of the battery becomes almost too magical.
Yeah, no, I think it's weird how well my kids do understand the battery situation in our house. Like, especially like if I'm letting them watch something on my laptop or if they're like just like anything. Like it's almost like batteries is like a magic word.
Yeah.
Like if something is not working, they will come to me and be like, does it need new batteries? And a lot of times it's just broken or something at that point.
Right.
But it's just bad. They're very, like, at this point, keyed into the magic of the battery.
Well, like, the kids are keyed into, like, computer battery or, like, phone battery. And I think there are, like, I think you're right. There are some devices in the house. Sorry, the battery's dead. You can't use that. Right? Like, that they get.
Yeah.
But there's, like, certain things, like the magic light-up turtle at night.
Uh-huh.
Though maybe it's just only nighttime toys in our house that just like is
well, those
crushing.
Are comfort things.
Yeah, they're comfort
like, it's
things.
I mean, I'm guessing that the reason they can't go without is because you don't want them to go without. Like you're willing to go the extra mile on those
because
things
because it's a comfort thing
because,
as opposed to
it's a
an
bedtime
elephant.
Routine thing.
Right.
Yeah, like if it's a toy that they use during the day and you don't have the battery, you can just say, "Look, I'm sorry, that really sucks," and you know they might scream about it, but whatever. But like at night, I totally get that where you're like, "This is the thing that helps them sleep, which helps me." Like I'm going to like figure out a way to
get this done.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I always feel like in our house, because we'll buy these bulk batteries, and so there is like a nice run where I feel like it is magic. I go out to the garage, and there are the batteries.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do still have two more.
Yeah.
We do still have two more. Yeah. And I'm just like constantly waiting for the day where I go out, and I'm like, oh, we have no batteries. We're all out of magic.
I'm going through this really annoying situation with our baby monitor, where because I had the same baby monitor since Grace was a baby, and it was a really good one, and I really, really liked it. But it, like, kind of was done, like, by the time, you know, Curtis was around, we'd used it every night for, you know, 5 years or whatever. And so it's really hard to find a baby monitor that is not a video monitor nowadays. There are a few, but, like, a lot of them are kind of crappy. But I found, like, the best one I could find. But it turned out, like, it doesn't use rechargeable batteries. You have to replace the actual batteries.
So when it's plugged in.
When it's plugged in, it's fine. It's plugged in. But then when you're, like, walking around with it,
it's
using up a battery. And I figured that out really fast because we went through a whole set of batteries on that monitor within, like, a few days.
Yeah.
And then now I just, like, pretty much only keep it plugged in. And if I have to be in another part of the house, I just blast the volume. But that drove me bananas. I was like, what? Why? I don't know how they decide on those things, but it does seem like a lot. Like, the things you're naming are things like the light up turtle or the nightlight bug thing. Those should all be rechargeable. Like,
I agree.
Would make
that you would
so
never need to plug them in.
You just charge them during the day.
That's true. Well, we wound up getting rechargeable batteries.
Like actual rechargeable batteries
that we then charge and use in different areas. But I will say that creates its own sense of, like, where are those rechargeable batteries?
It's like
now?
An extra thing,
like,
to worry about.
Is it in the drill?
Yeah.
Where are all my batteries?
Yeah.
They'll be out. And there's never a backup set charged and ready to go because they're all out. I feel like in our house, we have to have a combo reel and recharge batteries to, like, rotate. And then we were talking before the show, and I was like, there's, like, the final thing with this completely whiny discussion about batteries, which is, like, the least of all the issues that we face as parents, but it's fun to have every once in a while, is disposing of batteries.
Right.
Because I was like, well, then you got to, we always have the bag of, like, batteries. And Teresa, like, drops this bomb on me of, well, you can just throw batteries away.
Yeah.
I'm like, when did this happen?
Yeah, I don't know when it happened. We didn't discover it until, like, last year.
Yeah.
But we did the same thing. We had the bag, and then we tried to figure out where the, like, electronic disposal thing was. And then this one day, I just remember being in the kitchen with Jesse, and he just looked on his phone, and then he looked up at me and said, you can safely dispose of alkaline batteries in the trash with normal household trash.
Wow.
As of some year that was, like, several years ago. Like, actually, maybe, like, a decade ago. I don't even know. But it was amazing. And now I was telling Biz, like, now it's, like, anytime I have to throw away batteries, it's, like, a great joy where I'm like, I could just throw you in the trash.
Goodbye, battery. So I guess everybody Google that little fact. Make sure that's true in your state.
Yeah, remember not to listen to us.
Yeah, we're not 100%, but I'm going to listen to Teresa and just joyously go throwing batteries willy-nilly.
It's great.
Willy-nilly, everyone.
One Bad Mother is supported in part by Texture. The Texture app has gone beyond delivering just the magazine itself. They've made it easy to find and enjoy the articles you want to read, with daily recommendations, exclusive interactive features, videos, and more.
Guys, I love it. I picked Southern Living, Sunset, Parents, Better Homes and Gardens, and a few other ones. What was so cool was when I found recipes or projects I wanted to try, I could just save them and then go back. I don't have to go flipping through magazines to get them. And this also included my cake recipe that I made out of this month's Southern Living. So Texture is normally $9.99 a month, and you get over 200 magazines. But if you sign up right now at texture.com/badmother, you get a 14-day free trial.
Right now, Texture is offering our listeners a 14-day free trial when you go to texture.com/badmother. That's 14 days to try Texture for free when you go to texture.com/badmother. texture.com/badmother. Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Genius fail time, Teresa. Genius me.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh, my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
So, everybody knows I'm not crafty. My almost four-year-old, Oscar, has been really obsessed with this one particular storybook called Anansi the Spider. And it's this, like, Ashanti folktale about how the moon ended up in the sky. And it's about this spider named Anansi. And, like, he has six sons, and they all, the six sons, like, all work together to save him from this trouble that he gets into. And Oscar, we were reading the other night, and Oscar was like, I want, because that's his latest thing. It's like, I want that. I want that. It's like anything he wants as a toy.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I'm not going to like get you toys.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to just buy you toys all the time.
Right.
Like, I'm always saying no.
Yeah.
But in particular with this, I was like, yeah, sorry. They don't like make toy Anansi sons, like sons of Anansi. That's not like a thing you can just like go buy in the store.
Ew.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, really, really. And I'm like, how about tomorrow we'll make some spiders? And he said, okay. And I was thinking like, oh, we'll just like make them with construction paper,
right,
like black paper or whatever. But then he got so excited and was like just so into it. And like we can like do each of them has like their own little symbol saying who they are. I was like thinking to myself, oh, this is gonna suck, you know? But then the next day, suddenly I had this like moment where I remembered that I still had some black pipe cleaners from when Grace and I made that bumblebee pinata, which was the last time I crafted, which was like 2 years ago. But I had these pipe cleaners and they're black.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can totally make spiders out of these black pipe cleaners like really easily. Like, take four, twist them up, bend the legs, you have a fucking spider.
Yeah.
It was like so easy and so fun. And the kids got so excited and were so into it. And we made these amazing spiders. And then he had spider toys to play with.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
Yeah, I felt really great.
Very good job, Teresa.
Thank you, Biz.
Very good.
Thank you.
So we have Ellis and Katie Bell have both been sick like all last week.
Katie Bell
was like 3 days of this like just fever and nothing else. And then Ellis got it and he was like had the fever for like 5 days. And so everybody's been cooped up in the house and burning energy, speaking to each other in ways that we just hadn't really gotten to yet as a family.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And Stefan had taken the kids out to the park, and they come back around like 3 o'clock, and Ellis is like super burned out because it's like his first day without the fever, but he's still like tired. So he's like starting to fall asleep. And I'm like, you can't fall asleep now because you go to bed in 3 hours. We can't. 3:30 is too late for a nap.
It's the worst.
And we're all just like trying to figure out. Like, I mean, and I'm like, all right, let's go outside. And I still had leftover from one of those, like, oh, we're at Target and there's a huge sale. I'm going to get just as many of these, like, packages of the water balloons that, like, it's 50 water balloons. You stick them on your hose and they fill up with a bunch of water balloons right away. So I always have, like, a spare one of those laying around. So I was like, who wants to go outside and hit water balloons with baseball bats? And everybody was like, me. And I'd seen this on Pinterest somewhere. So we set up all the water balloons. Ellis got to hit them off the tee ball, which was really fun.
Nice.
And Katie Bell got to hit them. And then Stefan and I, just to relieve a little stress, Stefan looked at me after the very first time I swung with all my might at that water balloon and it exploded everywhere. It was like, oh, I think we just found something for you to do. Anyway, everybody's energy was renewed and we made it through the three
hours.
But Stefan was like, this is fucking genius.
So good.
And I said, I'll take it.
Hey, I am calling with a dad genius moment for my husband. Okay, our son is a year and a half, and we got surprised with an ear infection, so he's on antibiotics for 10 days. This is oral suspension, you know. That's always fun. Well, we ended up traveling over 4th of July weekend, 3 hours away, and needing to bring his medication, which has to stay refrigerated. So, genius moment for the dad. is he actually had a spare, it's like a Yeti cup, I think it's Ozark. Anyways, he had one of those insulated cups that he packed the medication in and packed it in with ice, and the ice stayed the entire trip, and medication never got warm in the least bit. When he came to the car with it, it was completely genius, and I told him I was going to fill it in. Anyways, thanks for the show. Love y'all.
That's great.
Yeah, I like
that. I didn't even think about, we've talked about the genius of insulating cups and coffee and having hot coffee all day. Yeah. But I would never think about insulating cups with the ice for to keep stuff
like
cold,
tiny
like
cooler.
The medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually really smart.
It's really smart. And also, it's really convenient to carry that around. Like, I would have thought, like, oh, I'll have to, like, pack a bag with ice in it or, like,
I would
cooler
have overthought
or something.
Yeah.
Like, a little cup. That's easy.
That's really smart.
So smart.
Good job. Failures.
Fail. 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 Fail!
You suck.
Fail me, Teresa.
Okay, so my birthday party failures saga continues. Okay, so over the weekend, Oscar's preschool friend had a birthday party, and I got it together to RSVP. I remembered the birthday was happening. I got a gift. I wrapped the gift.
Yeah.
And I brought Oscar to the birthday party, only a little bit late.
Yeah.
But when we got there, and it was at a place that we've actually had a birthday party there before, an indoor playground type place. All the kids were in swimsuits doing a water party outside, which I didn't even know you could do at this place.
What?
Yeah. So they had little pools and they had turned their outdoor slide into a water slide.
Whoa.
And all the kids are swimming and splashing, and I'm getting out of the car and looking and seeing this.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like, motherfucker. Like, what? How did I? Okay, great. And so Oscar's like, oh, they're swimming. They're, he's all excited. And I was like,
what do you
We're
do?
Already late. I can't really go back home and get the stuff. I don't have anything in the car. So we go in. He ended up just swimming in his clothes, and people lent me stuff that he could go home in, and it was totally fine. But I still felt wow. And then I was talking, And then I was talking to this mom who's a friend of mine whose son is a really good friend of Oscar's, and I was like, I guess I apparently didn't read the invitation, but I was all proud of myself because I got the gift and showed up and blah blah blah. And she goes, well, yeah, and if you'd read the invitation, they said no gifts actually.
Oh, Teresa! It's still a failure.
Keeps giving. There's new ways for me to
screw up birthday parties.
Yes, every time. And there's so many more to come.
Oh,
like,
so many more.
Yeah.
You have you got a third one.
Yeah.
You got a whole lot.
I know.
I know. Wow.
I know.
Well, you're awful.
I know.
The good news is you'll have already forgotten about it.
Right. So true. Thank you for that.
I don't necessarily have anything specific. It's sort of especially coming after a week of being with the kids, everybody's sick, knowing sickness is coming for me imminently. Stefan's gone on another trip. I just feel like I've just grown numb to the failures. I've just grown numb. Mm. Where it's I can't even identify them right now. Mm-hmm. I can't even be
sure.
Oh,
that was a fail.
That was a fail. Because I just feel like I'm in a constant state of that's where the bar is right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Just kind of, I mean, when cake is my high point of the the week.
Yeah.
Where I feel like that's a parenting thing I can solve.
Yeah.
That just tells you guys where I'm just in this state of I don't know. We're not going to be checking much off lists these weeks. So anyway, I'm just sort of it feels like a fail that I can't even identify the failures anymore.
I get it.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I get it.
Great.
Hey, One Bad Mother. I'm calling in with a fail, and it just is kind of speaking to my life right now. It's now about 3:30 in the afternoon, and I've just realized that my underwear is on inside out and has been all day, and that just pretty much says it all about life right now. Yeah. And guess what? I'm on the go, so my underwear is still on inside out. Yeah, it's a special kind of fail. You guys are doing a great job. Thanks for the show. Bye.
I just needed to play this for all the solidarity.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, there have definitely been moments where I'm like, hey, that's on it. Like, my underwear is on inside out. Mm-hmm. And just that you even thought that it would be worth turning them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're there now.
Yeah, that's where they
are. That's now how you wear underpants.
Yeah.
For the day.
For the day.
That's the new underpants rule.
It is.
And there, it's a little demoralizing to realize that you can't even put, like, the basic basic clothing on anymore. But, you know, just embracing the new way to do it could be seen as a genius.
The new way to do it.
Does it? You know, it's fine. It's fine. No one knows. It's Mama's little secret, isn't it? Mama's little special secret. Her special little secret reminder that she's failing at dressing herself.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you. I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone. I love you. I love you.
One Bad Mother is supported in part by Care.com, the easy and reliable way to find care for everyone in the family when and where you need it.
Care.com is the world's largest digital marketplace for finding and managing family care. So it's dedicated to making life simpler for families everywhere. You can find, book, and pay for care all in one place. And you can also find housekeepers, dog walkers, tutors, errand runners, and senior care.
To save 30% off a Care.com premium membership, visit care.com/mother when you subscribe. That's care.com/mother for 30% off a premium membership.
Teresa, let's call someone today. This will officially be my new intro, guys. Let's call someone. Let's just call anyone randomly. Actually, though, this week we are calling Sarah Kowalski Esquire, who is the fertility doula, family building coach, postpartum doula, and author, as well as founder of Motherhood Reimagined. As a single mother by choice who received her son via sperm and egg donors, she is a go-to guide for women who are contemplating single motherhood, having fertility issues, raising donor-conceived children, or navigating life as single mothers. Her new memoir, Motherhood Reimagined, When Becoming a Mother Doesn't Go as Planned, comes out October 17th. I'm so sorry we are going to have nothing to talk about on this show today. Please welcome Sarah.
Hello. How are you?
We're fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. Before we get into the memoir and your work, let's ask what we ask all our guests, which is, who lives in your house?
Sure. I live with my 3.5-year-old son, 270-pound dogs, I rent two houses in my house as well, so two tenants who are very lovely. So it's a full house.
This might be the closest to a commune we've ever had on the show. Mm-hmm. That's what renting to tenants is like, right?
Yeah, a little bit. It's nice, but yes, it is a little. It goes through varying degrees of that, I'd say.
I'm sure. Let's just ask, what kind of dogs do we have? I care less about the tenants. What are these 70-pound dogs?
I have they're both rescues, so I'm not positive, but my best guess is a Ridgeback Shepherd mix and a pit bull.
Oh, those are big dogs.
Yeah, so nice. We're not messing around.
Yeah.
That is very good. Very good. Well, let's talk about the memoir to start off with. So, Motherhood Reimagined, your memoir. This is where you share your journey deciding to become a single mother via sperm and egg donorship after deciding at 39 you wanted to have a baby, but discovered that you were infertile. That sounds like this was a really easy process. Let's start with that, if we can. Let's start with, actually, there's sort of the beginning of this journey where you decided that you wanted to become a mother.
Sure. I mean, it wasn't sort of straightforward. As a kid, I had kind of already had, like, you know, told everyone I wanted to have 11 kids when I grew up, and I sort of stalked pregnant moms and was like so certain about being a mother, and then kind of got involved in my career, became a lawyer, sort of living, you know, a fun San Francisco in the height of the dot-com boom, you know, in my early 30s, and having a blast, and sort of lost track of whether I even wanted to be a mother.
Right.
And then it kind of just, you know, a mentor actually said to me, you know, you're 39, you should really start thinking about whether or not you want a kid. And it sort of blindsided me initially. And then it took a long time to decide. I sort of realized at that point, if I was going to have a baby, it was going to probably be alone. And so I had to kind of wrestle with what did I really want? Did I want to be a mother? Did I want to have a partner? I was convinced that having a baby alone meant that I would be partnerless forever. And I was really wanting a partner at the time. So
it was
kind of having to let go of this whole vision of what I thought motherhood was going to be like and reconnecting to wanting to be a mother.
Well, I think the vision is totally the right word here, because there's so many different images wrapped up in what motherhood is, what parenting is, how one would do that, what all, you know, what's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we've been doing the show for 4 years, and I think what we've discovered is that is those visions are really different and really not accurate at all. Lots of times, you know, like they're like surprisingly so in different parts of the journey of having kids, raising kids, kids being in your house. So I feel like that's a really accurate way to describe it. And now I have to get sidetracked though on the statement from your mentor of you gotta decide if you're gonna have kids. That totally feels like one of those, is that a helpful thing to say? Or is that one of those like helpful category things that you want to hear? Is it not? Like, how did that, what was your response to that?
I think it was helpful.
Right.
It was so like buried, and I was just like not willing to look at it. And so I think I needed someone from the outside sort of being like, hello, you're not. And I think I also had this like idea that it was easy to have kids in your 40s. You know, so many people around me were doing it.
Well, right.
So many people were like, and I sort of assumed that like all reproductive technology would take care of issues. I felt like I was sort of, when I realized that my doctor was like, oh, by the way, you're pretty much infertile at 40. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, this is not possible.
Right.
You have to be able to fix this. So I think having that person from the outside being like, yeah, hello, like fertility's real. And if you want to have a baby, you can't just keep burying your head in the sand. You have to think about it.
Yeah.
I think it was really helpful.
But can you take us, you don't have to share the whole memoir with us, but like there were lots of moments where you went into this thinking it's going to be like this. And then you had to adjust again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
Could you kind of take us through some of that and what that was like?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, even just getting so clear on deciding that I wanted a baby to kind of only be kind of delivered this bombshell news that I was more than likely going to have to use an egg donor, and then sort of just refusing to accept that and being like, I can be the one who can beat the odds. I know I can.
Yeah.
And having just so many ups and downs and disappointments of trying. And then, you know, I think the big one was really getting to, you know, coming to terms with using an egg donor and just realizing how incredibly, how much we're tied to our genetics, or we think we are, and
right,
how important that is. And then once I kind of really connected to, like, why do I really want to be a mom, and also actually thought about my dog who, like, you know, showed up on my doorstep, essentially, who I fell madly in love with. I was like, oh, actually the genetics don't really matter. And I also remember like a day I went to go visit a friend with her, like, you know, a couple week old baby. And she like went to the bathroom, and I was like, oh, actually, like if she told me I could take this baby home.
It was like a bad Law and Order episode about to happen. I'll just take your baby.
Yeah, exactly. But I was just like so in love with this little being I had just met. And I was like, oh, right. Like the genetics do not matter at all. Like, I'd be perfectly happy with this one.
I don't know why I just love this. Well, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then, you know, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm trying to think of, I mean, I think just over and over, I mean, now even as being a mother, I think that's part of the reason I really love the title of the book and my business, because I think it is this constant letting go of what you think is going to happen and figuring out that it's something different and sort of the best you can, like surrendering to what it actually is rather than kind of fighting for what the vision of what you hoped it was going to be.
Oh, that's hard.
It's kind of... It is so hard.
It's so hard. I feel like the importance of that statement. Like, I'm totally, you know, Teresa usually comes in and drops these beautiful sort of truths in this room. I mean, yeah, she's like rolling her eyes, but it's true. We're like, this like idea of like accepting and like letting go. And I'm like the worst at accepting and letting go. It is just not, you know, that just not who I am. Not without a lot of help. And so, like, I hear that statement of like, yeah, it's just you're constantly having to reimagine how this is going to go. Like, it's all about, you know, sort of accepting that none of it may turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out. And that's OK. Right. Like, that is freeing. And but also like really hard, I think, when, you know, we're just so surrounded by expectations and what we think it's supposed to be like, even if we know that those expectations are nonsense, right? Like, it's still, it's, you know, you still feel awkward if you show up, you know, wearing all yellow and everybody else is wearing blue. You know what I mean? Like, I know there wasn't a dress code for this, but it's a little weird. Well... So you went on definitely a physical journey and an emotional journey throughout this entire process, which would have left me feeling like I had been hit by a truck in both cases. And I'm wondering, you're currently a fertility doula, a family building coach, and a postpartum doula. And actually, before I get into my question, I want to stop and ask if you could explain what a fertility doula is. Lord knows, I barely knew what a doula was when I started this show. And so, you know, I need help explain what that is, because that's new to me.
Sure. I mean, it's really someone who, in the same way that like a postpartum doula or a birth doula is there sort of providing support and mentorship and kind of showing you the ropes and giving you information and emotional support. It's basically that through the fertility journey. So
that sounds
I'm
so
kind
lovely.
Of a research. Yeah. I mean, it's hard going through. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, even figuring out how to get pregnant as a single woman is sort of like mind-boggling. And there's so many options. And, you know, I was a patient's rights advocate in law school. And it was part of kind of what really drew me to law in the beginning, was really helping people advocate for themselves and their bodies. So I really love helping people figure out, like, what the right question is to ask and how to kind of at least equip themselves with as much information as they can so they can ask the right questions and kind of sort through stuff. And you may have gathered through my book, I'm sort of like, I think I'm equally like very research, need the facts, need to know all my options, and very kind of out there intuitive at the same time. So I kind of, it's kind of blending those two worlds, like helping people with both the logistics and the facts and how to gather information, and then the coming up with the support and the emotional and being able to, you know, learning how to trust what's trying to unfold and that kind of thing.
Well, how did your experience, how's that affected your work?
I mean, before this, I was doing like executive and life coaching and working a lot with people who were, you know, hated their careers and wanted out. I worked a lot with lawyers who were just sort of, you know, crumbling because that's what had happened to me. And now I feel so called to work with women on this journey, both into becoming, you know, how to become a mother and whether they want to be a mother, kind of struggling with the ups and downs of of the fertility process, and then even being mothers and how in the world we, you know, the process of reimagining constantly what you think it's going to be and being able to come to terms with what it is.
Right. I really just love the idea of a fertility doula. I mean, even even if you're like in a partnered relationship, just to have this support system that you can lean on during something that's so, you know, emotionally and physically exhausting and stressful and, mm-hmm. you know, where I feel like having like a third person, mm-hmm. like, you know, yeah. to like kind of put the weight on a little bit would be yeah. such a gift. And to have somebody like to be able to, you know, support you with information and resources, that is a gift. I just think that
yeah.
I'm so glad that we just learned about fertility doulas on the show.
Oh, good.
I really
I'm
am.
So, I'm so glad I could help.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, no, I think it is. No, yeah, I mean, I think it's especially, you know, if you're single, it's
yeah.
you know, a different sort of strain on it, but it definitely is the, you know, equally difficult, even if you're partnered, especially because I think, you know, a partner gets sick of hearing it and they
right.
don't know what to say. And yeah, it's just nice to have someone else who can, yeah, carry the burden with you.
Well, speaking of what to say, you
yeah.
and going back to the, well, if you're going to get pregnant, I, this is not how your mentor said it to you, but I'm going to give it. If you're going to get pregnant, you know. We talk on the show all the time about like things that come out of people's mouths with like the best intentions or without any
right.
intention at all, just came out of their mouth, and how like how much guilt and like self-judgment that can suddenly bring up in the receiver mm. Of these little mm-hmm. nuggets. And I was
right.
wondering if, given, again, your professional and personal experience, what are some things that that people who are going through this and people who are supporting people who are going through this can do to be helpful besides shut up?
Well, I guess there's two parts of that. There's, you know, I think when I was first deciding whether or not to be a single mom, I had friends who were, you know, struggling being moms with partners who were like, oh my God, don't do it. It's so hard with two people. How in the world could you do it with one? And, you know, I was like, I get it that it's hard, but that's not helpful.
Right. I thought you were going to say that they would be like, I thought you were going to say like, oh, it's going to be great when you're single.
Yeah,
you don't have to like balance all this shit. both not
I mean,
helpful.
I kind of, yeah. Well, I mean, I actually do think that makes it a little bit easier, or it's a silver lining to doing it alone is that there is no balancing of another person. But, and then I think, you know, when I was contemplating egg donors, I had a friend, you know, who very vocally was like, I think, you know, I can't understand why you're not adopting.
Right.
And that wasn't, you know, I get that there's a different, I admire the people who adopt and it just wasn't for me. So I think recognizing that there's a different path for everyone.
Right.
And just being willing to support whatever that path is and helping people realize that, you know, you're letting go of so many of these fairy tale visions that we've been taught since we were little kids, and that it's really hard no matter what. You're having to sort of surrender to something completely different, and that's really painful. So kind of recognizing, or I guess honoring or trusting the path that people are taking would be useful. Asking, you know, how they can support you once the baby's born, or how they can support you while you're pregnant would be a really nice one.
Bye. Peace out. Sorry.
Yeah.
Great.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It just feels
yeah.
like there's like a whole added like level of like emotional prep one would have to like kind of get their head around if they were going through this like alternative family planning. You know what I mean? To like mm-hmm, get ready for mm-hmm. all the things to be said
from
everybody.
Yeah. I mean, people, you know, people have a lot of opinions about it. I mean, people do worry. I mean, luckily I live in a pretty progressive area. So
right.
People aren't that worried about me kind of, you know, having like the, God forbid, bringing a child into the world without a father. People aren't necessarily having a ton of opinions about that, but that's, you know, people are concerned about that. And just, you know, I think offering to be a mentor yeah. for your child, you know, if you're really worried about your this other kid not, you know, my kid not having a father, then help take my kid on, you know, to a basketball game with yeah. your kid or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, let's wrap up with something that that you've been working on, which is basically something you've pulled together, a resource guide for people pursuing alternative family planning. And it's, mm-hmm. it is an amazing resource guide.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it, you know, sometimes you people say resource guide and it's so loaded and dense that you're like, goodbye. But this is like laid out. I don't know. It's just like all the right information laid out in a way that's like really friendly, reader friendly, which is nice. Just so everybody knows, we're going to put a link to it in our show notes for the show today. But can you tell us a little bit about the resource guide?
Sure. I mean, I think I had it was sort of inspired by like there was a mom at my kid's preschool who was like pulled me aside and was like, oh, my God. Michael was asking about why Aiden doesn't have a dad and I didn't know what to say. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's really easy actually. and just sort of like, it's not something to panic about. It's okay. I think people just don't have a framework necessarily. Yeah. So I really wanted to just kind of give people kind of these basic, I think the main one being that, and I think it applies to so many different types of families is that, you know, it takes a sperm and an egg, or if you're scared of the term sperm and egg with your young child, you know, seeds from a man and a woman, and that sometimes those people who provide the seeds are the mom and the dad, and sometimes they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And in, you know, that Aiden has a seed from a man, but that's not his father, and he's just a mom and child family. And when I explained that to her, like the relief that washed over her and like her realizing that it was actually quite simple. So I think there's just, you know, there's a couple little things that people just kind of need to understand. And it's not even like that revolutionary. But when you hear it, I think it's like, oh, yeah, of course, that makes sense. And that applies to two mom families and two dad families and surrogacy and whatnot. So I think, yeah, that was the inspiration. And also that research really shows that talking to kids as young as possible is really important. So it's just like not this big bomb that they're being delivered. And I think that's mainly true for like...
Wait till you guys hear this.
Right.
Sarah, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your experiences. I mean, because what you've done is not only did you go through this process, you have shared it in your memoir and you continue to share it by being an advocate and having your work be around helping people through this process. Cause, you know, a lot of people don't. I mean, we joke on the show that, like, just because you did X, Y, or Z doesn't make you the fucking walking encyclopedia for everybody's questions about X, Y, and Z, right?
Like, you know, right.
Google that shit. So it's very impressive and generous of you to be willing to do it. So thank you so much for sharing that and coming on the show.
Thank you. My pleasure. It's awesome to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And again, October 17th, the new memoir, Motherhood Reimagined, When Becoming a Mother Doesn't Go as Planned, will be out. You can also go to motherhoodreimagined.com and find out more information. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye.
The Dead Pilot Society podcast brings you hilarious comedy pilots that were never made, featuring actors like Aubrey Plaza, Andy Richter, Paul F. Tompkins, John Hodgman, Adam Scott, Molly Shannon, Busy Phillips, Tom Lennon, Anna Camp, Laurie Metcalf, Alicia Day, Michael Ian Black, Adam Savage, Paul Scheer, Ben Schwartz, Skylar Astin, Mae Whitman, Josh Molina, Ben Feldman, Nicole Byer, Jason Ritter, Sarah Chalk, Steve Agee, Jane Levy, Allison Tolman, Danielle Nicolette, Casey Wilson, Anna Ortiz, Lorraine Newman, June Diane Raphael, Kieran Shipka, Ed Week, Zach Knight, and Carrie Kenny Silver, John Ross Bowie, Jamie Denbo, Janet Varney, Alexander Torsani, Bruce Summer, Ellen Morales, Matt Worley, and many more. Listen at MaximumFun.org, iTunes, or wherever you download podcasts.
I want to believe.
Trust no one.
The truth is. is out.
Wait, why are we whispering this?
I don't know.
Well, the truth is out there. Ono, Ross, and Carrie is now weekly.
Every week, we're bringing you new investigations into fringe religious groups, the paranormal, and claims of the extraordinary.
And guess what? We're doing a deep dive into the world of UFOs and extraterrestrials all summer long.
We're going to tell you all about UFOs that are actually plastic bags, interstellar trading charts with Freudian bent, and the truth about owls.
The truth about owls?
That's Ono, Ross, and Carrie with new episodes every week at MaximumFun.org.
We show up so you don't have to.
This program is not made on behalf of or with the approval of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, mostly because we never asked.
We really should get around to that.
I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
I feel like I'm like in such the middle of like, oh, everybody's stuff is so different.
Totally.
Why are we so wrapped up in it all having to be the same? I mean, whether it's how one conceives, whether it's how a kid shows up in your house. Like, I'm like so in the middle of it with just like how different kids are do in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, oh my gosh, why did I think that that was all going to be the same for everybody?
Right.
And like, just like really working on respecting if somebody says I'm doing this or this isn't working, mm-hmm. that is true.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And how freeing that is to be like, I don't have to fix that. I don't have to like argue with that. Like, not you. It can't possibly
diversity.
Be. Diversity, guys.
Everyone is different in so many ways. Like,
I know.
So many different ways for us to all be different.
That's right.
Yeah.
And simultaneously, there are some basics that we share.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure.
Skin. Legs sometimes,
organs.
Eyes, organs. We all share organs. We can even share them after we're gone. But I mean, like, there is a beauty and a celebration in all the differences and all the different ways to do things and the fact that we are all still people walking around.
Totally.
Right? Like,
totally.
It's such an easy thing of all the things to be talking to our kids about. That's such an easy one.
This also feels like a good time to remind people about the book What Makes a Baby by Corey Silverberg,
yes.
Which if you're out there and you haven't seen the book and you are looking for a book to read with your kids about how babies are made,
mm-hmm.
I recommend it to other parents all the time who are like, my young kids are asking and I don't know what to say because so many of us feel like, oh, I have to talk about sex now.
Right.
I have to talk about heterosexual intercourse now. And like, it's so great and so inclusive the way that book sort of approaches talking about where babies come from.
Yeah.
So
speaking of things that are wonderful, let's listen to a mom have a breakdown.
Oh, this is a rant. I am actually about to cry because I just heard this on me. I did a great job and I really fucking needed it today. Today is one of those days where just no one gives a shit. I've been going since 5 in the morning, which I know that's the normal for so many people, but for me, it's not. I woke up and I've been tired because I started a new class and been in the class all day, and I started a new job, like a new childcare job, which the paperwork isn't even in for that yet, but I'm with these families. I'm like, I hate to say it, they're like monsters, and I'm working the other job too, and I'm fucking exhausted. I just got off a 12-hour shift at my other job, and it's my partner's birthday this weekend, so I get to go home to him, and I can't be exhausted. I need to be excited because he made my birthday so wonderful. But I just had a fucking meltdown in the fucking guard aisle because I couldn't find a loving card, and I don't even give a shit about cards. I don't care about cards, but he cares about cards and trying to be a good partner, and I'm so tired, and I did everything today. I got up, I got dressed, I did laundry, I cleaned the house, I did what I had to do, I packed all my shit, I got the surprises ready for his birthday, I drove all the way to work, I was only 7 minutes late, and no one gives a shit. Ugh. I don't know how I'm gonna do this. I really don't. I just needed to get it out. Thank you. Now, I am going to enjoy the ice cream that I bought for the both of us. I'm going to smile. I'm going to be a great partner because I love him and he deserves the best. Thank you for listening. You guys are all doing a great job. Bye.
We give all the shit.
Yeah, we really do.
So much shit giving here. You're incredible.
Yeah.
You're really doing such a good job.
Yeah, you're amazing.
You have got That's so much work.
Yes.
That's so much work. That's so much kid parenting. That's so much good partner supporting and giving. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, just the fact that you're still capable of being so kind and generous to your partner for their birthday. I mean, not that I'm saying that we should all go around and not be, but I mean, like, it is, we've talked about on the show, there's that extra level of effort when you're so tired. And sometimes the person who gets the shit end of the stick are the people that you love the most sitting around your house, right? And, like, I just, like, it's so inspiring to hear you talk about it. And I just, that's, you're just, you're doing such a good job.
Yeah, you really are.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really amazed by you.
Yeah. Yeah. We both are.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't think there's a lot to dig into here.
It's just such a reminder that, like, things being normal can sometimes feel totally impossible.
Correct.
Like, and like, legitimately so.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so much all the time.
That's right. That is exactly right. The normalcy of our lives can be too much.
Yeah.
At times.
Totally.
And, yeah, you're doing remarkable.
Yeah, good job.
And you're going to get through this.
Yes.
Teresa, yeah. What did we learn today? Sometimes we learn that we just have so little to give in terms of talking about parenting that all we want to do is talk about shitty fucking batteries.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our deepest show, guys, but batteries, like all other things, are a fact of life. And they deserve some mindless. We should have had like wine in here while we talked about batteries.
I
mean, I don't know if we could have been like, what's the deal with batteries? Mm-hmm. Like more, but it's true and it's real. And if you don't have small children in your house yet, you have been warned that you will one day think about batteries in a way that you had not thought of them before. Stock up.
They're not just for sex toys, guys.
Oh, it's so depressing when those batteries go out, guys. Okay. So we learned that. We learned from our lovely, generous guest, Sarah Kowalski, Esquire, that everybody's doing things differently. That's good. That's good. There are so many different ways to get kids in your house.
Yep.
And they're all valid and valuable and exhausting and hard and both. You get both. No matter how you do it, you get both. And as always, we get to be reminded on the show that it's fucking awesome that we're all doing things differently and that our kids are different from each other and other people's kids. Our family dynamics are different from other people's family dynamics. Our own personal journey through parenthood is different than other people's. And, you know, that's okay. That's, in fact, good. We can get so much support and great insight from different people's experiences. And that's great. I love it. I do.
Me too.
Yeah. Guys, that's all we got. You're all doing remarkable, however you're doing it. With or without batteries, guys. However you're doing it, you're doing a really good job.
Yeah, you guys are.
You really are. Teresa.
Yes.
You're doing a good job.
Thanks, Biz. So are you.
Thanks. We will talk to you next week.
Bye. Bye.
I got to low down mama blues. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. You know that right.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, our producer, Kara Hart, our husbands, Stephen Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all of these horrible things, and of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org/OneBadMother. For information about live shows, our book, and press, please check out OneBadMotherPodcast.com.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, go to MaximumFun.org/donate.
Well, Daddy Baby Bussin' by got low down mama blue. Oh, said Daddy Baby Bussin' by got low down mama blue.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.